Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 23rd day of December 2023. Welcome also to those listening to the recording, those joining us on the phone, and glad to have each one of you in fellowship. Have one announcement before we get into our service. And that is this next coming Sabbath, December 30, the very last Sabbath of the calendar year, we'll be having foot washing and communion. It'll be a high Sabbath day. Our dear brother Jorge Garay has graciously accepted our invitation to come and present that sacred service. And his son, Brother Santiago, will be translating for us into English. So it will be a bilingual service in both Spanish and English. And so we hope to see you all there next Sabbath. It'll be a wonderful occasion. So that's the one announcement. Our opening song for today's service is titled O Solemn Thought. O solemn thought, and can it be the hour of judgment now is come, which soon must fix our destiny and seal the sinner's fearful doom? Yes, it is so. The judgment hour is swiftly hastening to its close. Then will the judge in mighty power descend in vengeance on his foes. He who came down to earth to die, an offering for the sins of men, and then ascended up on high, and will ere long return again, is standing now before the ark and mercy seat and chair you bend, to plead his blood for saints and make the last remembrance of their sin.
The solemn moment is at hand, when we who have his name confessed, each in their lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. Jesus, we hope in thee alone, in mercy now upon us look. Confess our names before the throne, and blot our sins from out our book.
Oh, blessed Savior, may we feel the full importance of this hour. Inspire our hearts with holy zeal and aid us by thy Spirit's power, that we may in thy strength be strong and brave the conflict violently. Then on Mount Zion, join the song and swell the notes of victory.
Amen. And may we feel the importance of this probationary time that God has mercifully given us, and indeed partake more and more of the divine power given to us by God's Spirit, so that we may, in His strength, overcome and be able to be with the rest of the redeemed in heaven to add our voices to that great song of victory through Christ our Savior. May we indeed not get caught up in the cares of this life and thus allow our probationary time to pass us by and to close and we be lost. Quite a solemn thought indeed. Before we get into our sermon, please join with me in opening prayer. Blessed Father, thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness and tender love, and providing us a way of escape from sin and destruction, and giving us thy Son that provides this way of escape. Thank you, Savior, for living our life and showing us how we can live thy life. Thank you for not forsaking us, but for being with us each step of the way and uniting yourself with us that we might indeed follow you and overcome and gain eternal life. I pray that you will forgive us for all the times we have not followed your lead in this joint effort of overcoming sin. Forgive us for the times where we've pushed back or turned the opposite direction and ceased to advance. But I pray that you'll help us from this point on to follow the Lamb whithersoever he leads us, to obey your leadership and to move onward and upward, having our eyesight fixed on things above and not on things of this earth. Thank you for your divine grace and strength and your Spirit that makes this pilgrim's travel possible. And help us to make the most of our period of probation that God has given us, this second chance to get ourselves ready and prepared. Thank you that all things are possible through Christ, which strengthens us. And help us to always look unto Him who is the beginner and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to meet together in the peace, the freedom, and the liberty that you have designed and allowed to continue up to this point. Pray that you will help us to see these chances of coming together and fellowshipping with others of like faith to be very precious. And thank you for these times, for we know that it's prophesied in the future that we'll not have this opportunity. Thank you for the light that you've allowed to open to our understanding by thy Spirit's power. And please, Spirit, continue to quicken our understanding. Help us to see the spiritual insights and the truths that are contained in thy word of inspiration. Open our understanding. Enable us to comprehend more today. And help our memory to be very retentive, that we will not forget what we have heard, what we have read, but it may remain with us. Thank you for all of your divine help in this area. Father, I pray especially that you'll raise up more laborers and send them into thy harvest field so that Jesus may be uplifted that much higher, that his truth will be that much more brighter, and that more and more glory of his true loving divine character may fill this dark world and dispel the darkness. And more precious souls may choose to follow the Lamb. Thank you, Savior, for also being our great physician of mental, moral, physical, and spiritual diseases and ills. Be with those who are suffering. Please provide healing relief. Provide encouragement, provide faith and trust that can help them to endure whatever your will is in their life. Thank you so much for thy wisdom to know what simple remedies to use to bring about the greatest relief. And help us also to recognize when we need to seek help from the medical profession so that our life is not ended before your will is that our life ends. Thank you for thy merciful kindness and tender love. Thank you also for your presence in our midst and your blessing upon our fellowship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, welcome, dear ones. And this is part two. This is our final part in the subject of judgment, titled Judgment Bound. And last time we learned that Jesus wants to thoroughly wash each one of us with the water of his words of eternal life that's found in the scriptures. We discovered that it is these very words of Christ that will come back and judge us in the last day. So if we follow and live by these words of truth, then we will be judged righteous and will be saved in Christ Jesus. But if we refuse to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then we will be judged unworthy of life and will be lost. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes that I'll be referring to in this sermon, you can find these on our website at alightministries.com/ID352.htm. And thank you, sister, for putting it in the room. If you look at quote number one, Christ tells us in John 12, verse 48, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So if we choose to follow Christ and live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, then we'll be judged righteous and we'll be saved. But if we reject him and rebel against following his words, then it is these very words that we rebelled against that will stand against us in the judgment. So God gives us truth for the purpose of allowing us to follow it and become saved in Christ. And if we reject the truth and choose to live in error, then we'll be judged unfaithful and will be lost. And praise God for preserving the scriptures through all the turmoil of the dark ages to where we can have his word so readily available and be able to read it for ourselves and to choose to follow it or reject it ourselves. Now, before anyone can be judged, they must appear in court before a judge and undergo a trial. And in any trial, there's actually three phases of that judgment. There's the investigative part of that trial, there's the sentencing part, and then there's the execution of the sentence or the carrying out of it. And last Sabbath, we explored into the first phase of the judgment or the investigative part of it. We learned that all who have accepted Jesus at any point in their life have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we also discovered that each individual that has ever been conceived, not just born, but conceived on this earth, have their own book of record that's kept in heaven, which documents every aspect of their life and character. This book of theirs contains all the evidence gathered over a person's lifetime of choices and actions, and so it proves quite easily whether this person should be saved or lost, depending on their choices, their actions, and how much knowledge they had of God's will. Their book also documents whether they were born in a wicked community or in a good community. It also documents what type of good or evil influences surrounded them as they grew up and formed their particular character. And all of this recorded evidence from each person's own book will be presented in this investigative judgment when their name comes up in review. And this judgment may take place either after they have died, or for those of us living in the last days, it may take place at any time during our lifetime while we still live. But if it's determined that we are innocent because we have all of our sins confessed, all of our sins forsaken and washed away by the blood of Christ and are clothed in his precious robe of righteousness, then we are declared not guilty. Our trial is then ended with an acquittal, and we are rewarded with complete freedom to live forevermore. But what if we're not found innocent? What then occurs? And this is what we'll discover today in this second and last part of our sermon on Judgment Bound. So after all cases have been investigated into and all decisions rendered of every person either to be saved or lost before Christ comes, then Christ returns. The Bible brings up that at the return of Christ, all the dead who have been judged righteous will be raised from the graves. And then together with all the living who have been judged righteous, Christ gathers his faithful bride and followers off of this wicked world and takes them home to the wedding feast in heaven. And after this glorious and long looked for event occurs, then the second phase of judgment can take place, or the sentencing phase for all of those judged guilty of rejecting Christ and his words of life. So let's explore this second phase of judgment or sentencing phase. And if you look at quote number 2, in every trial, when the guilt of the defendant has been determined, then there is a date set for sentencing. And during this period of sentencing, the evidence that has been produced in the trial is evaluated, and then the sentence is determined based upon the seriousness of the crimes that were committed. And the same exact process occurs with God, and the sentencing is based upon what was discovered in the books for each lost person. We're told in Revelation 20, verses 12 to 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man or woman, according to their works. We're also told in Ezekiel chapter 7, verses 8 and 9. I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. And mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. I will recompense thee according to thy ways, and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee, and ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. So it is in this second phase of determining the sentence for each of the lost that the righteous saints who have been taken to heaven will participate in. And these redeemed will be as kings and priests unto God. That's Revelation chapter 1 verse 6 and Revelation 5 verse 10. And this sentencing phase will take place for the next 1,000 years. And the saints along with Christ will be going over all the books of the wicked dead to determine along with God and Christ exactly what punishment should be given for each person that was lost. And this includes even angels that were lost, and thus even Satan himself. That's in Revelation 20, verse 6. And in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 2 to 3, we're told, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Know ye not that we shall judge angels, angels that were lost? So this is what will be taking place for all of the lost that were not saved during 1,000 years of this second phase of the judgment, or the sentencing phase. And after this second phase of the judgment has occurred, then the third and the last phase of the judgment can take place, where the sentence that was determined is carried out, it's executed upon the wicked that were lost. Now if you look at quote number 3, now you can't execute any sentence upon someone who's already dead. So just as there was a resurrection to life at the second coming of Christ of all the dead who were judged righteous, so then there is a resurrection of the dead that were lost to receive their sentence and then the execution of that sentence. You can find that in John 5, verse 29. The resurrection of damnation. So all the lost, those that have been judged unrighteous and were not part of the first resurrection at the coming of Christ, will be resurrected from their graves at the end of the 1,000 years. That's Revelation 20, verse 5. At that same time, Satan is also released for a little while, and he immediately begins his work of deception upon those wicked that have been newly resurrected from the graves. That's Revelation 20, verses 5, 7, and 8. And it's just a short time after being released that Satan has all the wicked convinced that they can surround and capture the saints and conquer the holy city of God that's come down out of heaven. It's Revelation 20, verse 9. So this shows us that these wicked are determined to the bitter end in their hatred of Christ and rebellion against his words of righteousness. So they haven't changed. They've only grown worse. And this also shows us that the character they died with is the very same character that they're resurrected to life again in. Their character hasn't changed while they've been dead. It's exactly the same. And so this further shows us that there's no second chance of salvation after Christ comes. There's no second chance to be saved. You have one chance. That's why today is the day of your salvation. If your probation closes and you're lost, there's no chance to overturn that decision and become saved. So today is the day of your salvation, not tomorrow. And it's at this point in time that the wicked follow Satan's commands. They surround the saints. They surround the city of God, that the third and the final phase of judgment occurs, or the sentence is carried out. And right when they're surrounding the city and think that they're going to conquer it, the wicked suffer the executive judgment determined against them in the sentencing phase. Fire comes down from God out of heaven. This completely covers the entire earth like a huge lake, and all the wicked will be burned up. We're told in Revelation 20, verses 9 and 10. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You look at quote number 4. This fiery lake does not harm the city of God or any of its saintly inhabitants within the city, but it completely burns up all the wicked, including Satan, who's the author of all wickedness. So even Satan himself, as well as all of his evil angels, are burned up by this fiery lake until nothing remains of any of them but ashes. We're told in Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19, thou, referring to Lucifer or Satan, has defiled thy sanctuaries by the multitude of thine iniquities, by the iniquity of thy traffic. Therefore will I bring forth a fire from the midst of thee. It shall devour thee, and I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. So that would be like the saved righteous in the city of God. All they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. Thou shalt be a terror, and never shalt thou be any more. So when it says that this lake of fire devours the wicked, and they'll be tormented day and night forever and ever, it doesn't mean that they burn throughout all eternity, but they are devoured by this fire until there's nothing left of them to burn. They'll be just ashes, including the devil, who's the author of sin. he will be consumed by this fire until there's nothing left of him, just ashes. And you can't burn ashes anymore. There's nothing left to burn. It's all been consumed. So that's what will happen to all the wicked, including Lucifer himself. They'll be burned up until nothing is left. And never shalt thou be any more. We're also told in Malachi 4, verses 1 to 3. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So after all the wicked, including Satan and all his evil angels, are forever burned up to ashes, what then happens? If you look at quote number 5, in Revelation chapter 20, verses 14 to 15, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So death and hell, hell here means the grave. So death is thrown into the lake of fire and is consumed. All the graves are thrown into the lake and fire are consumed. So what this is telling us is that all sin, including its author, which is Satan, all sinners will be completely destroyed from the entire universe of God. All traces of rebellion will be eternally removed, and even death and the grave itself will be forever eliminated. So in other words, no one is ever going to die again. No one will ever be buried again. And thus God's entire universe will be completely cleansed forever from the curse of sin. What a time that will be, dear ones. We're told in Nahum chapter 1 verse 6 and verses 8 to 9. Who can stand before his indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of his anger? His fury is poured out like fire, and the rocks are thrown down by him. With an overrunning flood, he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies. He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up the second time. So nevermore will sin rise up to bring about the curse of death. And in Revelation 22 verse 3 we're told, and there shall be no more curse. God's universe is entirely cleansed of every trace of sin, rebellion, and death. It truly was thrown into the lake of fire and consumed to never more plague God's people. So this is quite a vivid picture of the judgment that the Bible brings out. And so the great question which concerns each one of us is, how can you save yourself from being judged unworthy and suffering such a fiery end? What's the answer? You look at quote number 6. The answer is to make yourself ready for your own time of investigative judgment so that you can become part of Christ's true remnant church, part of his bride on this earth. But how can you accomplish that? We're told in John 3:16 and verse 36. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So part of getting yourself ready for your investigative judgment is to believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to save you. We're told in 1 John 2, verses 1 to 6. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. So there's more than just believing that God sent his Son Jesus Christ to be your Savior. But you also have to ask Christ to cleanse you from all sin, and then to give you the strength to keep his commandments. And in keeping his commandments instead of the commandments of men, or the commandments of the devil, or the commandments of the church, you show that you love him. And in loving him through your actions, then the love of God will be perfected in you as you walk, even as Christ walked. In other words, you follow his example. We're also told in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So you need to have the mind of Christ in you. And Christ also chose to follow his Father's will at every step of the way. So his mind was to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. We need to do the same. Also told in 1 Peter 4 verses 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. So we need to have the mind of Christ and cease from sin. We're also told in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to 4, 6 to 8, 11 through 14, 17 through 18, and verse 22. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, Like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Isn't that wonderful, dear ones? Sin will not have control over you if you give yourself to Christ and yield yourself to obey him. Continuing. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness, and become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. So how is this possible, dear ones, to be free from sin, to have sin not having dominion over you, in other words, not ruling anymore your actions, but to be free from it so that you can then serve God in holiness and obtain eternal life? God's word says it's possible. But how? Let's continue. In James 4, verses 7 to 8 and verse 10. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So when you're tempted to do wrong, submit yourselves to do right. Submit yourselves to God to obey him. And then resist the temptation to do wrong. Draw nigh to God. And the promise is God will draw nigh to you. And then the devil has to flee because he's a conquered foe. God was victorious in the war. So the devil's been conquered. So when God draws nigh to you because you've chosen to draw nigh to him, then the devil has to flee. And since he's no longer there to tempt you, then with the Lord yoked with you, you can cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. All because you've humbly chosen to do God's will and not your own. That's the mind of Christ, dear ones. I delight to do thy will, O my God, because your law is written in my heart. So James tells you exactly how to have the mind of Christ. When you're tempted to do wrong, submit to God. Resist the temptation. Draw nigh to God. God draws nigh to you, and then the devil flees. Now you can perform the will of God, cleansing your hands, purifying your hearts, all because you humbly chose to submit to do God's will. But there's even more help than that. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 4 to 11. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, having the precious promises of God as your own, adding to your faith, virtue, etc. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall into sin. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So if you add to your faith virtue, that's living a morally righteous life, and adding on to virtue knowledge, and adding on to knowledge temperance, and on to temperance patience, and on to patience godliness, on to godliness brotherly or sisterly kindness, and finally the last, charity. That's unselfish, self-sacrificing love. Then you shall never fall. Praise God for these precious promises, dear ones. It's possible to overcome all sin by being united with Christ. We're also told in Luke 9, verses 23 to 6. And he said to them all, if any man or woman will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So here we have the pattern of our Savior spelled out to us. When Christ was tempted of the devil, Christ had the scripture promises to bring back to the devil. And Christ chose to follow the commands of his Father. He denied himself in order to do the will of his Father. He drew nigh to God, and the devil had to flee. We now know how that we can obtain a not guilty in our investigative phase of the judgment. It's by following Christ, by being hid in Christ, by denying ourselves to do the will of Christ. And we're also told in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 11, "Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have." So I pray, dear ones, that you'll get yourself ready for your judgment and follow these Bible verses and become cleansed by the washing of Christ's words of life. Determined to follow the Lord regardless of the cost. Daily take up your cross until all sin, until all self, all defects in your character are purified from you, and that you're only clothed in the precious robe of Christ's righteousness, and that the character you show to others is the character of Jesus. You'll be declared innocent because Christ's robe of righteousness covers you. All your sins have been forgiven, washed away by his blood. Your record book is clean. What a precious opportunity God holds out to each one of us through Christ. We're told in Ezekiel 18, verses 30 to 32, if you look at quote number 7. "Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Cast away from you all your transgressions whereby ye have transgressed, and make you a new heart and a new spirit. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore turn yourselves and live ye." Everyone has that precious chance to live and not to die. We're also told in Revelation 21, verses 7 to 8, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." God holds out to each one of us life in Christ Jesus. Christ has given us the words of life to follow that we may obtain eternal life and escape from being judged unworthy in the judgment. It takes a choice, dear ones. If you choose Jesus, the Son of God, then you have eternal life. If you reject Jesus, then you have eternal death. And all the burdens of sin are taken away by Christ when you choose him. When you confess to him, he is faithful and just to forgive you all your confessed sins and then to cleanse you from all the contamination of those sins. That's 1 John 1, 9. Precious promise, dear ones. Whatever burdens you have, give them to the Lord. Let him be your burden bearer. Our closing song is Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Cast your care on Jesus today. Leave your worry and fear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near.
Troubled soul, the Savior can see.
Every heartache and fear,
burdens are Calvary. Jesus is
very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary.
Thank you, Daddy.
Thank you, and may the Lord protect our baby that's in the hospital right now, as I understood, and I'd be praying for her, knowing that the Lord will keep her safe. This, I believe, and this is my prayer in her behalf.
Amen. We'll be adding our prayers as well. And please join with me for closing prayer. Precious Father, thank you so very much for accepting Jesus' sacrifice in our behalf and for enabling us to come before your throne at any time of need, day or night. Father, I pray that our relationship with you will continue to grow and increase and to wax stronger until it becomes an unbreakable bond of union, that no tribulation, no trial, not even the devil himself can break us apart. Thank you, Savior, for making it possible to be yoked together with you and thus with our Father. And thank you, Spirit, for working within us until this bond of union becomes unbreakable. I pray that you will help the things that were shared today, the scriptures that were read, to take root in each listening heart. Help each individual to take time to study into these vitally important subjects of the judgment and what happens and how to avoid a guilty decision, how to avoid the lake of fire, how to live in Christ Jesus now and forevermore. And as they study into these subjects, open their understanding and impress it upon their hearts. Let them see the seriousness of this issue. And let them also have the courage to choose Jesus, no matter what the consequences might be. In you, dear Savior, is life. There's no life in anything else that matters. If we have you, we have life. If we don't have you, we're dead already. Help us to choose you when we're tempted to do something else. Help us to fall in love with you, because you first loved us and manifested your love by dying for us. Help us to show our appreciation and love for you by being willing to die to self that you might live in us. Help us to give you glory. Help us to be your living witnesses, to shine forth your truth. And thank you for being with us each step of the way as we add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly and sisterly kindness, and finally, adding charity, self-sacrificing love. Thank you for the divine power to make all this possible, step by step, moment by moment, as we humbly choose not to do our will, but your will. Help us to always draw nigh to you and not to anything else that takes us away from you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God for his precious promises that he will in no wise cast away anyone who comes to him. What a precious promise. Cast all your burdens upon your Savior. Let him carry them for you. Rest in his love. Life will be a lot easier. Are there any questions, any comments, any insights, testimonies, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? And please remember, this next Sabbath is foot washing and communion, very high Sabbath. So we hope to see you then, dear ones. Any comments that you'd like to make, please go.
Okay.
Let me
let my brother go first.
Oh, I'm just asking, and I didn't hear. I don't know if she was at the beginning of the day, but I haven't heard her. I haven't heard her sing. So let me ask her son. How's my twin?
Mom is doing okay. She has a little cold that is troubling her, but she's feeling better today than she was in the past. And it'd be nice to have her sing, but the cold is affecting her voice. So
I understand. Please give her my love.
Oh, she's listening. She's.
Oh, she is?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, twin, I missed to hear from you. But the Lord knows best. So you take care and rest.
I can hear you, my twin. Same for you. And thank you all for a wonderful Sabbath.
And thank you also for your prayers for Mom, that she'll quickly get over the remaining part of the cold and that it will not get any worse. There's a request in the room. It says, for my aunt, Sister Jasmine, right now, she has COVID-19 and asthma, and she's in the hospital. Please pray for her, and thank you. And yes, thank you for that request, dear brother, and let us bow our heads. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you in the name of Jesus at any time to present our petitions, our requests, our troubles, or just to talk with you. But Father, we uplift Sister Jasmine before your throne at this moment. You know all about her situation there. We pray that our dear Savior Jesus will draw close to her to manifest himself as her physician and to allow his perfect will to occur in her healing, in her raising her back up to health, or in giving her extra grace and strength to endure whatever you see is the best in her situation. Thank you for allowing that to occur. Please increase her faith. Give her the grace and the comfort of thy spirit to know that you love her, that you are with her, that you are working with her, and that she has nothing to fear. Thank you so much for doing so, for being the physician, not just of ailments and bodily pains and diseases, but also the healer of the disease of sin, of unbelief. And thank you, dear Savior, for healing her of these ailments as well. What a great physician you are. What a loving, compassionate Savior you are. And thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer in thy perfect will and timing. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen, everybody. Amen, Elder Rob. I'm in New York City. I was supposed to be by Sister Rose to worship with everybody, but I still didn't get in her house yet because I'm by another friend and she needed help. We have like a patient here we're taking care of. But I was in the meeting just now. I was truly blessed by your message. And, Sister Rose, everybody, greetings. I'm back over on this side. I was up in the mountains of California. And then I made my way back to Pennsylvania, and right now I'm in New York City. Haven't seen Sister Rose yet, but I spoke with her. I was supposed to be in her house today, but Sister Rose, I'm coming. I thank the Lord. I could testify the amazing things that the Lord is doing. So I just had to say hi to everyone today. Elder Rob, you my father on this earth. You baptized me, so I remember. We're all going to heaven together. Thank you, Jesus. I'm smiling because I'm in New York City.
God bless you always, Sister Charlene. And
yes,
I think Rose will be very happy to know that you're there.
Yes, I'm there. So I might find her tomorrow. God bless. I'm here like right now with a lady. And I'm like helping out. And then when I finish, I was supposed to be over that side, but I didn't make my way that side yet.
Well, praise the Lord for all the traveling mercies and for getting you almost back to Sister Rose.
Yay! The Lord is so merciful. I'm smiling though because I see how the Holy Spirit is with us. I see how God got us. He's covering us. He covered us in and out of all these different places. And I'm excited for Sister Rose because she told me she just graduated from the missionary thing. So basically like what I've been living, you understand? I'm not certified, but that my life, my walking life is like a walking missionary in the medical field. So, Sister Rose, I think she's not up here. She went off because she's not responding.
No, but it's not that. I was feeding Gina.
What's I'm the matter sorry. With you? Oh, no. you, because that's what I was doing just now too. I miss your service with the kids only because I was feeding this elderly lady. When I finished with her, I had to blend up like some fruits and vegetables and all of that. I feed her for the first time. Beautiful lady. And I'm blessed to be in her presence. She's almost 100. She's bedridden. And I'm in love already because she's responding, all of that. So I was feeding her, so I came on here late.
We was here. We had a busy morning because the ambulance came and get our little Jasmine. So
yeah.
It was kind of a little hectic, but God see it through. And she's on the phone right now. She can hear. You know,
Jasmine is on the phone.
She's on the phone with her mom. She's on the phone while she's in the hospital. But if you talk, she can hear you. Jasmine, can you hear?
Jasmine?
Okay, she has, you know, she has the mask. The thing, you know, the thing they're administering for her to be able to breathe. So she can hear you. Okay.
Do you remember that Jasmine on my way on the bus? She was like my number one person. I was saying, when I get over there, please Lord, let she be there.
Yeah, I understand. But God still is in full control. We trust him for everything that he's doing in whatever way and whatever manner. We just gonna have to just do what he say by God's grace.
I'm saddened by that, but I'm gonna be over there tomorrow. I have to be by you and Dwight.
Oh, okay. So God bless you, dear sister. And so a blessing to everyone.
Thank you. But I'm saddened now by Jasmine. You know Jasmine, one of my babies. I'm saddened by that just now. But I'll be there in a minute.
Okay. By God's grace.
By God's grace. Thank you, Sister Cece. Greetings too. I love you. I'm missing. Oh, God. Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you. I'm missing all of you all. But I'm here.
Let Jasmine know. Tasia said hi as well.
Hey, Christine. I hear your voice too. How are my babies? How are my babies?
They're not babies anymore, but they're doing well.
I know. I know. The last time I saw Tasia was like 7 years old.
Yeah, she'll be 23 in June now.
How old is she now? Oh, I have to go. I have to go. Hold a second. Sorry about that. I have to go.
We'll be keeping all things in prayers. And praise the Lord, you made it back safely, dear sister Charlene. And glad to have you back in fellowship. And we've been talking about how blessed God is and how wonderful our Savior is. And I think this hymn is appropriate. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is thy health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join ye in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously reigneth. Shielded thee under His wings, yea, so gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what He ordained? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely His goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do. If with His love He befriend thee, all things are possible with God. Thank you, Lord. Praise be thy holy name. Are there any last thoughts that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones? Any testimonies, songs, anything else you'd like to share? Please.
Just a last thought. And I think that, Brother Rob, you had mentioned this to me before, so please forgive me for forgetting. I have a little problem with that. But, I'm by myself. So, when that time comes with foot washing and communion and stuff like that, I mean, I like to partake, you know, I don't know. I guess I just kind of wonder.
You can wash your own feet. And you can partake of the unfermented grape juice and the unleavened bread by yourself. And technically, you're not by yourself because you have your guardian angel there with you. So where two or three are gathered together, you and your guardian angel, that's two.
Okay. Okay. All right. That sounds a little better, a little more comforting.
Brother Bob, my request might be a little off range, but I think if you could say a prayer for Gina, which has been going through, you know, stormy weather, and this is, I know it's breaking her down. And I hope that she can receive the strength she needs to go through this trial. So I'm asking if you could say a prayer for her for me.
Oh, sure, dear brother. I'd be very happy to. But your prayers to the Lord matter as well. So it's not just me. I don't have no special connection more than anyone else can have. But I'm more than happy to pray. So let's bow our heads. Precious Father, again, thank you for allowing us to come directly before your throne with our petitions, our prayers, our talking with you and sharing with you. And at this time, we uplift our dear sister Gina. You know all about the situation that she's going through, the trial and the tribulation. And we pray that you will pour your spirit out upon her in rich abundance. Spirit, give her extra comfort. Bring back the scripture memory of the precious promises and verses in the Bible to bring her comfort and encouragement. And dear Savior, please draw close and reveal yourself to her as her Savior, her Deliverer, and her mighty Physician. Bring peace to her heart, strength to her faith, and courage to her choice to draw nigh to you and to follow you as her Savior, her Redeemer, her Sanctifier, and her Friend. Thank you so much for doing so, and thank you, Father, for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, my dear brother. I'm in a state, so I don't want to sound, you know, not enough strength to portray, but I'm really a bit under with this news of my granddaughter, so that's why I asked for your help. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear brother. And I praise God for the scripture promise that Romans 8:26, that the Spirit will indict our prayers and plead before the Father the things we know not how to plead. So if you just go to God and open your heart to Him and ask the Spirit to add anything else to the prayer that should have been there, but you didn't know how to put it into words. That will be done. And so then Christ will purify that prayer with His righteousness and present it before God in the most perfect and eloquent language possible. And so your prayer before God will be full and complete with everything necessary. You don't have to worry about that. The plan of salvation is wonderful. It even includes our prayers. And even those are made perfect and complete through our Spirit and our Savior. Are there any other thoughts, comments, questions, testimonies, songs that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
Okay.
It was working. We could hear it beautifully, but then it went away.
Here it is. time for it. So I could pass. Or you can come all the way in the corner, okay?
Lost it.
Whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be.
Amen. Thank you, dear brother Ethan. That was beautiful. Lovely song. Well, dear ones, are there any last thoughts that you'd like to present before we close today's service? Please go right ahead.
I just wanted to share a hymn. The hymn is 526, and it's entitled, Because He Lives. God sent His Son, they call Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive, live and die, to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He brings. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face a certain days, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day, across the river, I'll fight life. Brother Bob, that one is not in my book. So I'm gonna try, but I don't have that particular one. Does anybody know this particular part? Verse? I don't wanna mess it up. And then one day, I'll cross the river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. I'm not sure. And then gives way to victory. I see the light.
So glory, and I'll know He lives.
Because He lives.
Exactly.
I can face tomorrow, because He lives. All fear is gone, because I know
He holds the future,
and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Amen. Thank you, dear sister, and all the others who sang. Dear ones, have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a wonderful new week soon to be here. Remember, this next Sabbath, the 30th of December, we'll be having foot washing and communion for our main service, so please come prepared for that. And may God continue to lead and guide you ever higher in this new week that's coming, growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, unto that perfect man, woman, or child in him. Looking forward to being back in fellowship with you soon. And until then, dear ones, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.